And when I looked closer, there was a Sasquatch face on the other side, and it was looking right back in at us.
Staring back at me is a silhouette of a very, very giant monkey.
An intriguing discovery is being investigated in a community east of Seattle. Someone came across a lengthy trail of extremely large footprints.
They are up there.
Welcome, everyone. You've tuned into the Nicola Valley Bigfoot Podcast, a place where your encounters are told. To share your encounter and to be on the show, email me at nicolavalleybigfoot@gmail.com. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi there. My name's Terry Fleet. My husband is Dan. We went out hunting one afternoon and stayed pretty much most of the day until early evening. And we were out bear hunting up Sewaqua Forest Service Road, just outside of Hope. And as we were going out, we went all the way out up to one of our normal hunting spots. And then coming out, we thought we'd go a little further in on the main road. As we came around the corner on the main road, my husband was getting really, disheartened. And he's like, I'm never going to see my bear. And I'm like, honey, there's your bear right there. And to kind of give you an idea of the road itself, it's treed on both sides of the road in this one little, pass. And then it opens up into a cut block on both sides. And when we came, around the corner, something tall, but between 6 and 8 feet, moved from right to left. It was dark. It was not horizontal by any means, very vertical. And it crossed that two lane logging road in two steps. So the length of the gate, like we saw, like as if it was a large man running across the road. And, what I can tell you is what it wasn't. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't a moose, and it wasn't a deer. And we're hunters. And so we kind of know what's out there and what's not. And we were really kind of, we kind of sat in our chairs and in our Jeep, and we're like, did we just see Bigfoot? Like, cause that's kind of how we felt. We just knew that there was something else out there, but until you see it, it's like religion, right? Like you don't believe in religion sometimes because seeing is believing. Well, I've been, I tell this story to people now and they're like, there's no way you saw Bigfoot. And I'm like, no, I did. But I was that person, right? I was that person that didn't believe it until I actually saw what I saw. Can I 100% confirm it was Bigfoot? No. All I can tell you is what it wasn't, but we know what we saw because there was nobody else in there, right? It was creepy. I'm not going to lie.
Let's get into that, Terry. Like, what did you see? Can you offer some kind of description, or could you make out any details of the Sasquatch?
It was like this big, like it was such a blur. It was almost like in one motion that I could see like legs and I could see, the upper body is kind of one, like not the arms, like in stride. Like if you were to turn sideways and run, it was kind of like as if it was, I think it blurred because I you could see something floating behind, like as if it was hair, right? Like a longer hair. And I don't know. It happened so quick. And just at dusk, but I know that there was no horns, present. We hunt, so we see a lot of game out there, especially out in cut blocks and stuff. So this was definitely like a vertical person, as if it was a tall person between 6 and 8 feet tall. Like it was quite large, and making its way across as quick as it could, right? Yeah. like I didn't believe it at first when I saw it. I had previous experiences in there, right? So I thought, could that be? Because I've had a wood knock back to me. Because I love Bigfoot shows. I watch them. I try and, I'm always like kind of egging myself on, if you will. Like, oh, I'm going to do a Bigfoot call and Bigfoot's going to call back at me. Well, this time it did. Right? So some Bigfoot lives out there in Sewaqua Wash Basin. No question. I remember after we were like shocked, we drove up to see if there was something there. Like, is our mind playing tricks on us? Was it a moose? And we just saw this blur go by and it, you know, just be standing there on the edge of the cop block eating, and we just missed it. But we went up there and we didn't see any prints. Mind you, we didn't go and look into the, you know, to walk into the bushes to follow whatever it was, because we weren't sure 100%. But it sure looked like a person running across the road.
Yeah, wow. So you and your husband are sitting there, and this giant creature runs across this road. What do you guys talk about right after that? Like, what do you say to your husband after you see?
I looked at him and I said, "Did you see that?" Like, as soon as I said, "You're gonna get your bear right there," like, because that's where I thought it was a bear, at first. But the bear would have to be on two legs, and running across the road in like a vertical position. And I've seen a, you know, like, look at the circuses, right? And you stand a bear up on two legs. They don't run. They would, least of all, they're not going to make it across that logging road in two steps. Right. So I just looked at my husband and I was just kind of, we both were in shock. We're like, did we just see what we thought we saw? You know, trying to convince yourself that, you know, all these years, like, Bigfoot's really real, you know, and then all of a sudden you see it and you're like, no kidding. Bigfoot is so real. It's not even funny. Like, we were kind of scared, you know, because you're scared of what you don't know. Right. Like, is it going to come around and jump on our Jeep and tear it apart? Like, nobody really knows what Bigfoot's capable of. Is he going to be like Harry and the Hendersons? Right. And be sweet and kind and, you know, like, ha ha ha, like a big oafy kind of thing. Or is it going to like tear you apart? And, you know, you hear these horror stories that they steal women and, you know, molest them and drag them off into the woods, like all the history stories. And we didn't know, but we both sat there. I can tell you, my husband's never going to go back in there and hunt by himself. Wow, he'll take me because I'm the sacrifice so he can get away.
Well, that really affected him, didn't it?
It did. And he's very confident. Like, all his jobs in his life, he's a very confident person. And he would go out, like, he used to say to me, if I told you to close your eyes, would you go out and walk into the woods by yourself? I'm like, hell no, because I don't like the woods at night by myself. So for me to camp overnight somewhere like that, it was very difficult, because we hiked through that same area, forgot that was the Sewaquil Wash Basin. And we camped out there and we actually found a structure that Bigfoot probably made. And to find that and then feel that, I felt vulnerable because we were out there without a Jeep, without protection. We're kilometers away from any kind of access to get out on a road, because it was 18.75 kilometers that we did. So to come out of there, we had to walk. And to find what we found and in this place be completely devoid of life, we had done, the other half of the Hudson Bay Trail from Tulamine to Hope. And, you know, it was so full of life, and it's just on the other side of the logging road from where you come out on each side. And there was so much game out there. It was incredible. But coming the first year in 2018, when we hiked through there, it was completely devoid of life. Not a bird, not a squirrel. There was nothing there. It was empty and silent, not even a bug, like a, you know, cricket, or it was devoid of life. So I didn't smell anything. My dog did pick up on something. For 2 days, he just growled at something we couldn't see. And in this, so there's three separate occasions where we've come through that particular area, and it's strictly just the Sewaquil Wash Basin. That whole area has something there. I'm now a believer. I've had wood knocks coming out of there. I found a structure. I could take people right back to that structure and show them where it is. I'm a little scared to go back in there, you know, if I'm being honest, because you're afraid of what you don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Terry. What did you think about Sasquatch before all of this happened? Like, I mean, before this sighting that you had, you know, what was your thoughts on the whole Sasquatch deal?
I was, you know, as a kid, I grew up, my dad would say, if you don't stop talking, I'm going to put you out there with Bigfoot, you know? So I was always afraid. I used to have nightmares, like nightmares of Bigfoot as a child. And now I'm 50 and I'm like, you know, Bigfoot's not real up until that point. Like I said, I was a non-believer, even though you hear the stories and you see the TV shows and everyone's got their, oh, that's fake. And, you know, I was a non-believer. And it's like I said, it's like religion. If you have to see to believe, because in order to believe in religion, you can't see it. So Bigfoot, most people don't believe in it because they don't see it. And it's a shame that, you know, they don't. I think if more people just gave it a chance and you know, took people's word for it, because you can't tell me that hundreds of people all over the world say that they see Bigfoot and then all of a sudden say that, you know, like the rest of us are saying, well, no, it's not real. Well, how is that possible? Why are there so many sightings? You know, maybe they bury their dead. I don't know. All I know is before I was a non-believer. I would goof around and do the Bigfoot calls and, you know, do my wood knocks, but I never really truly believed that it was out there until it happened.
So you
kind of, now I tell my story and people still don't believe me. They're all, because they're not going to, they're in their stage where they're non-believers until something should happen to them. And they might die non-believers. That's okay.
Yeah.
I know what I saw. I know what we felt. And it's like, again, being an empath, you feel like a weird vibe around you, whether some, you know, when that sixth sense you have when someone's staring at you, right? And you happen to look over at them and you're like, oh yeah, someone's looking at me, right? That's how I felt. I felt like that through this whole area.
So the thought of Sasquatch in the forest before you had your encounter, it did kind of cross your mind at some point. I mean, you're doing tree knocks and doing howls as kind of as a goof, so to speak. And I kind of
wanted to prove the TV shows wrong, I guess. Like, oh, Dad, I'm going to go out and do my Bigfoot call. But I kind of believed it because I wanted to believe it. I wanted to believe that people are not crazy, that, you know, all these people have some sort of fact. Like I always, for some reason, I always believed the Patterson-Gimlin footage. I really did. That never ever fazed me. But you know, you got the people that would go, well, why don't they have any proof? And why can't people get, you know, proper pictures? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe because it moves really fast because it crossed that road in two steps. So if I had a camera, I would have got a blurred picture too. Right. Like, let's face it.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to believe. And I think part of me did believe. But when it happened, then I was truly like, it was like signed, sealed and delivered. I was sold. I'm like, yep, you know what? I always knew it. I believe it now. And that's why I tried to reach out to whomever I could to say, hey, you guys want to investigate? Here's the spot. I can tell you where you go. You know?
Oh boy. Yeah. So how did this affect you guys that day? I mean, did you sleep very well that night, or what did you and your husband talk about? Like once you got home and you kind of had time to let everything kind of digest it and let your brain kind of, you know, try to make sense of everything that went on. So what did you guys talk about that night and how did it affect you? Did you guys sleep well?
Well, you know what? Because this was the first time it happened, we got a wood knock when we were out hunting, and 3 days later, then we saw the Bigfoot. We slept fine. It's kind of like, but we were hyped up. We're like, we couldn't wait to tell everybody we knew. Guess what? We saw Bigfoot, you know. But it was an awful experience because we just, even, you know, with family, like they're like, sure, you did. Mm-hmm. You know, you get this like this overwhelming like, you guys are full of cock-a-poo-poo, you know? And we're like, no, no, we saw it. Yeah, so did you see the flying saucers too, right? Like that's what we got from people. And we actually were very disheartened because if anybody knows who we are, you know, we have both very upstanding jobs. I look after seniors. You know, my husband works for the government. And both of us have important jobs where, you know, we don't lie to people, right? This is, if I ever said to my husband, guess what? I saw an alien. He'd go, yeah, you did, because that's who we are. Like we don't make up stories just to become famous or any of that crap, right? Like it's just, but it, we felt disappointed because we wanted to tell the world what we saw. So we kind of felt, we actually talked about, you know, could you imagine, like, this is probably how Patterson-Gimlin felt when they brought this picture to the world and nobody believed them. Right. And yet you're like, no, really, it happened. Right. And nobody believed you. It was disheartening. And, you know, we felt sad. We felt sad that, you know, finally for once we saw something so incredible that it scared us, right? Because I don't think we'd ever go back in there without being in an enclosed vehicle, right? But I, you know, or least of all, go back and hike the area. I mean, it's beautiful in there. It's absolutely beautiful. But there's this ominous feeling about this place, and you know, and if it's meant to be that way to keep them safe, because that's what I think they are, is just a species of things that are trying to thrive, like the gorillas in the mist, and they're just living alongside of us that are, you know, maybe they didn't evolve as much, or They're obviously smart. They don't leave their dead where people can find them. And but let's face it, they live out in the woods. Who's going to stumble out like in the middle of the forest, way out there on a dead, you know, Bigfoot, right? And go, oh, they're bones, right? They probably bury their dead. They probably live in caves, and maybe they're cannibals and eat their own. Like, who knows, yeah. Right? But it was very disheartening to know that we saw something so incredible, that people wish they could have that encounter, you know, because they want to believe, but they don't believe yet, if you will.
Yeah.
So we were sad. We were sad. We slept okay though. We knew that we were safe in our home, and you know, we could go up there at any time. And I, but part of me wanted to go up there and try and reach out. Like, you know, whenever I would go out hunting and stuff, I would leave, like, I'd bring some extra fruit. Like when we did the Hudson Bay the other way, when we came out in Sahuagua, whatever fruit I had left or whatever trail mix I had left, I kind of left it as an offering just in case, right? Because I think that, you know, you leave something for them in place of you being in their territory. You know, maybe that's a sign of respect. I don't know. Like, we don't know much about them, right? Because we don't have one to study. I definitely don't want to kill one to study one. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's cruel. It's somebody's family member, you know, obviously because they've evolved, they have females and juveniles. And from what I understand and from what I'm reading, and, but it was neat. I would say it was the best experience. You know, when it's like believing in religion, and I saw a miracle happen.
I would say right? It's not too often that, you know, people have an encounter such as yours, and you know, people get very enthusiastic about it sometimes on a very limited scale. It really sounds like you kind of went down a rabbit hole. Did you get into researching, like watching videos and listening to other podcasts or doing anything like that just to try to learn a little bit more
about what you saw? Absolutely. Yeah, I was trying to, any Bigfoot show that would come on TV, and I mean, I know some of them are somewhat scripted, you know, where they, it's for the people. There's the one show, Expedition Bigfoot, that I love to watch. And I liked that one because, not that I didn't like Bobo and their group too, but it seemed like, you know, you'd hear the sounds, but you'd never, you know, see the evidence. But when they're down just south into Montana, you know, you can see that they got the infrared and the newest technology, and they're, you know, the fact that she's a primatologist, right? It's nice that they've got someone like her that's studying that. So I'm learning, the older I get, the more that I'm trying to learn about them, right? Or try and follow some of the, like the history and Hope itself, because Hope has a lot of history with Bigfoot, you know, Bridal Falls, Harrison Hot Springs,
Ruby Creek,
Hemlock, like up at Hemlock,
yeah.
Ski Resort, Yale, you know, so this whole area has been a hotspot for Bigfoot for many years, right? Ruby Creek. So it's nice to be able to, I'm trying to follow up on some of those old stories. And I know some of the family members actually that, you know, that talk about that place. Some, one of the ladies that I know, she has a house over by the Ruby Creek one. There's like a trailer park that's by the river's edge side. And that's where the Bigfoot came across, right? And was trying to eat the fish from this one farm. So, I mean, back then it would be even, you know, scarier, right? Because, you know, you don't know what that is. And there's more forest and less houses. I feel safe. I don't like to camp anymore alone, you know, where I'm out there vulnerable, because, you know, you hear stories, you know, big, like, I don't know, again, you don't know if Bigfoot's going to eat you or make love to you. Yeah.
Either way is a pretty bad night, I would assume.
Yeah, right. And then he throws rocks, you know, like, so you hear all these stories and you really don't know, what's it going to be. It's like Russian roulette when you go out there, right? Like,
yeah.
I think, me myself, like, I think if you just go there and you're peacefully camping, and albeit you're in their territory, I think they might just try and, you know, make you feel a little bit unwelcome, like, hey, you're in my hunting, you know, because do they look at us as being, you know, invasive in their territory, that we're going to, you know, take their food source, you know, they could be like a dog protecting their territory, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I kind of think that they do get a little territorial when it comes to outsiders entering. I mean, if someone came into your home and just kind of set up camp in the corner of your house, I mean,
Yeah,
it
right?
would be a little invasive, and you'd want these people gone. So you do
We got
things
pots
to
and pans banging in the morning. Say
exactly. There you
bye.
go. So I totally understand where Sasquatch are a little
Yeah, well, that's
defensive
their
of their home.
home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But yeah, I just you know, I loved the inter I loved the whole experience. It did scare us, but you know, again, you're scared because you don't know what you're dealing with, right? If we knew the outcome of this the interaction, it might have been different. I might have, you know, hollered, "No, wait, let me, I got some food." You know? But that's a, it's an area that used to be just so full of animals. That we would pull bears out of there, and while you're pulling that bear out, you know, you've left your gut pile, and you just not even got the bear to your vehicle yet, and another bear's coming in on that gut pile, and you know that's a huge source for Bigfoot to be in there. But the last few years we've gone in there, it's just devoid of life,
That's very
and not
odd.
because it's been over hunted, because you know when we hiked in there, like we came out the last time and my mom had to come pick us up while we were on the main logging road when we came out. And now there's a big washout apparently. So there's really nothing in there, right? You can't get in there, I don't think, anymore. And so it's just really growing kind of wild again until they open up forestry again for that road, and then they'll come and fix it. But yeah, it was definitely an experience. You know, we go out a lot of places to go hunting, and this was the only place where, again, we've had friends say that they've had family members go in there and hunt, and they were chased out of there by something they couldn't explain on two separate occasions, like two different families. So we make the third, and that I personally know of. And I mean, that in itself says that something's there.
Yeah.
You know, there's trails that are so well used. That when we used to go hunting in there years ago, we went up to this one spot, has this big, huge stump, and it looked like it had been torn apart by a grizzly bear. But when you go up there, like there was this big mud bog and stuff, and people would park and then walk across, and it would take you back into, I think, it, coming up from Jacobson Lake from the other way around. Very uncharted, kind of like nobody goes back there. There's no trails, but there's a heavily used trail. Whether it be a game trail or whether Bigfoot's back up in there, but he could make his way around this area easily. Like, and you know, and if it's quiet back there and it's uninhabited and there's game that's there, I'd live there too.
Yeah, me too. Sounds like heaven, actually.
Yep, it sure does. Lots of berries and, you know, so and lots of new open areas, and animals will go where there's some cut blocks, right? So I don't know. I hope it continues. I, you know, maybe next time I go in there, I might not be so scared. I don't know. It's a little disconcerting though.
Did you look into the other sighting or the other occurrences where these other hunters were kind of chased out of the area? Did you look into those
They didn't
accounts?
exactly say what part. They knew it was in Sewakwa Forest Service Road, and there's only one road in, and then they've got a couple spur roads going off. And then one goes all the way back in and into some new cut blocks way far in. But yeah, this was years ago. So it would have been more of like one way in, one way out before they put in all these side roads. So, you know, that main corridor in there would have been where they would have saw something.
That's definitely interesting. I'm gonna look more into that area because, you know,
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated with sightings that are kind of close to me, and you know, hope isn't that far away from merit. So, you know,
No,
there's
not at
definitely,
all.
yeah. So, I know you mentioned earlier that your husband had some, or maybe he still does, has some strong hesitancy to actually go back. But have you guys gone back in at all, or to any other areas that may have been
Not since so 2015 we went in, and that's when we had a wood knock and saw what we thought was Bigfoot. And then in 2018 we did the first part of the Hudson Bay Trail, which had no animals. And then in 2020, we came back from Tuolumne to Hope and did that portion of the Hudson Bay Trail. That was 5 nights out there. And we didn't have any, there was no hesitation, you know, going that side. But, you know, we didn't, so we came out the same road that we saw Bigfoot on. And it was 2 years later, or 5 years later, sorry, So we really didn't, I don't know, I think because we waited for a friend, but I, you know, sitting there at a picnic table, you know, waiting for someone to pick you up and you're like, yeah, I just don't want to be in there. I don't know. I get this like unwelcome feeling. Like, I don't want to be in there. Just come get me, take me out of this lock and road. So yeah. I don't know necessarily. My husband, yeah, he's, again, he could sit anywhere and say, okay, close your eyes, go walk in the bushes, you know, and would you do that? And I'm like, no. And he would close his eyes and go walk anywhere. He was never afraid to go hunting on his own and go hiking through the woods and, you know, go searching for his deer. He's a bow hunter and also rifle hunting, but you know, to, for him to go back in there and set up a wall tent and go by himself, he said, absolutely not. And he's not easy to scare. So this really kind of shook him a little bit to think that he knows there's something there. He knows what he saw, you know, but again, you don't, the people that you tell, you almost get discouraged to tell people and tell your story because people look at you like you're crazy. Oh, like yeah. You've seen an alien, right?
Absolutely.
So you just stop telling
that stigma
people.
is very toxic. Yeah, but absolutely. It's a common thing. And I'll give you a brief example of that. Previous to my conference that I had, I was getting probably one or two emails a week, sometimes more, from people who didn't want to be on my podcast. They didn't want their story out there. They just wanted to share their experience with somebody because they needed to talk to somebody who's not going to judge them or you know, think they're crazy or you know, point a finger at them. And I was getting that quite often. So, you know, there are a lot of unaccounted encounters, if you know what I mean.
Like people absolutely.
They just don't want to have anything to do with it because it's that stigma hangs over people's heads. And, you know, it kind of sounds like you and your husband went in kind of opposite directions, whereas he doesn't want to deal with it, whereas you're kind of happy to kind of jump in the boat and see where this ride takes you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. It's funny. My husband just got home from work. Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact that he's scared to go in where I'm scared. But I think he would go in if I went in, like if we went together, would we stay overnight? Probably not. We'd drive in, come back out. But was that fair to say, Dan? Yep. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as would I want to go back in and try and see if I could, it doesn't really matter where we go. I still do my Bigfoot calls. I still wait to hear. It was almost kind of like waiting to hear a Bigfoot wood knock or a call like on the shows that you watch, you know, to tell yourself really like, you know, you're not crazy. Like, you know, this exists because every part of you in your being is saying, this is real. Bigfoot's real. I haven't seen him yet, but I know he's real. And when it finally happens to people, you know, just because it's like coincidence or I'm in the right place at the right time, it just validates that you're not crazy. You know, that you were right this whole time, right? And I don't mind going back in and, like I said, leave some apples. I mean, I'm sure a bear would find it first, but you know, what if, right? These beings don't really need our like, here you go, here's some apples. I mean, they've been foraging in the forest far longer than we have. And I think they're doing just fine on their own. And I think if they're left alone, then they're happy. You know, they don't go looking for the interactions with us. We go looking for the interactions with them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a beautiful way of putting it. I mean, I was just thinking the same thing as you're explaining that is, you know, they don't have any desire to come and discover us.
No, they avoid us at every cost, right? Like they, you know, even in watching some of Todd Standing's videos, you know, they don't want to be seen. We don't get a picture of them. We don't hear them, but a wood snap, and that's usually them going the other way, you know? So it's sad. It's sad that, you know, they don't, I'm happy for them because that's the way they live. They're alive this long because they're reclusive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a human nature to want to solve a mystery. Mm-hmm. And you know, from a Sasquatch point of view, and I'm just making an assumption here because I don't really know, but you know, there is no mystery to be solved. You know, we're seeing, I kind of figure they kind of look at us like, you know, these little pests that keep coming into their home. And
yeah, here comes the ticks. I wish they'd just go away.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know, but we're the ones, it's very one-sided. It's us trying to prove that they exist when they're trying to prove that they don't want to be seen. Right. And I respect that. Like, if I'm out there, I'm going to give them all the space they need, right? Like, if they're running away, I'm not going to chase them, because what if they are aggressive? What if they come at me? I don't want that. I don't want to be stolen. And, you know, then there's Bigfoot babies and my husband might ask questions. he always jokes and says, well, what if the Bigfoot ladies come and they see me? We always joke about, would they take me? And I go, you know, I go, well, you aren't very big. I'm sure they could take you.
Well, I'm glad you're not a forest bride. I think that's right? The term that they use. It's called a forest bride. I'm sure I've heard that somewhere before, but I'm glad you didn't end up that way. But
right, you know, Bigfoot babies and whatever, right? Yeah. But I really have a different respect for being out there alone anymore. Like, I want to go out there and feel safe, and I should be, because we don't really know anything about them. But I just don't. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm afraid. And because you're afraid, you don't know what anything, you don't know, you know, what they're capable of. You don't know if you are going to be safe. And we like to live in a safety bubble. You know, we know when we go out hunting that a bear could turn around and come at us if we didn't get a good shot. Right. Like, mm-hmm. We know that, but it's Bigfoot's a little bit bigger, you know, their physical strength is just massive. And not that a bear can't kill you, but Bigfoot's, it's intimidating. It's like when you stand up beside some big basketball player, you know, they're huge. They're like 6'10" and you're like, man, dude, you're tall. And Bigfoot females are anywhere from 6 to 7, and 7 to 8 are males. Right. So from the way that they've, you know, done their readings and stuff, right? Like, I'm a little intimidated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I really don't think that they mean any harm. And just from, and I have no evidence to back that up, other than, you know, if they wanted to, they would have.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree with you. But that doesn't take away that, like, uncomfortable, you know, you're not alone out there.
Yeah. I spent some time in the woods down in your area, actually. And it's a different vibe in that forest. It is something that's I'm not used to. It was very overwhelming, almost like it engulfs you.
It's almost like a cloud falling over. You know, when a mist rolls in.
Yes,
there you go. It fills the area.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Yes,
like this ominous feeling, because they're big, dark, green, thick woods. That and I understand why they're here. Like, if that's where they live, it's because it is so thick and green and lush, and, you know, has so much protection, and animals want to go where they're safe. And, you know, I get that. And that's where, you know, like, look at all the forested areas Bigfoot has seen in Washington, in Montana, in Alberta, you know, on the Vancouver Island, like, you know, here, right, where you don't see a lot of them, in very few down in the coulees in the States, like lower lying states, right? You know, the Yeti, I think, is just Bigfoot, but he's climatized to, you know, the snow, right? Mind you, the Yeti story is a little different. Like, there's less to eat over there, so they're probably going to eat you. That's why the stories are like that. Here we got ferns and pine cones, right? So I'm glad they like to eat that. Or you know, people say, well, you know, Bigfoot eats deer. Do they cook it? Well, no. Hello. Right. Like, I don't think they know how to make fire.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm not
sure.
Maybe
they do.
Yeah. Maybe they do at on some level, or I have no idea. I'd be wrong for me to guess, but
I know. And I've sent you that picture of so on that one hike I did coming up the hill, when I dropped my pack down, I turned around, and when I looked down, this mist was coming up from the overgrown forest side of the valley. And there's this structure that was clearly not made by natural reoccurrence. Like, these were big logs placed like almost like a teepee, but it wasn't a teepee. Like, these were huge logs, and there was no trail leading to it. I didn't even go look in it. I know where it is. I don't know how safe I feel hiking 6 kilometers in and having a peekaboo and then coming back out. I just don't know how I feel about that. And really, to be quite honest, I don't even know where on the trail. I know kind of roughly, you know, things change over time, but I didn't really pay attention as to what serpentine. I did stop and have a pee and look down the hill and see where it was, right? So I'm not sure, but it's there. It's there. And I think if I went and turned around at every serpentine and looked down, I'd probably find it. But it's, yeah, something lives there for sure.
Absolutely. I'm 100% in agreement with you on that one. And I'm looking at the picture right now. Is it okay if I share that on my
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Excellent.
I'd love to have some feedback on kind of what people think, or and maybe somebody, because this is the Hudson Bay Trail, right? So the fur traders used this trail for so long. You know, and I kept saying as we're going on this trail, I'm like, how did people bring their cattle down here, or their horses? Because my dog, you know, couldn't even get across a couple spots. And I'm like, how did they get across here? It was quite steep, right? And they brought like whole herds of, I think 70 horses. No, sorry, I lied. Less than that. 17 horses. A lot of horses were up top of Manson's Ridge. And a freak snowstorm came in and it blocked them in and they all died up top. So, you know, I know this structure could go, but it didn't look, if you look at the picture, they don't look like really old logs.
Yeah. And for the listeners, if you want to check out Looking for Bigfoot on Facebook, I'll post the picture there. But I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please continue.
Yeah, no worries. I just don't know, like, you know, does somebody build it? And they would have to bring in like a snatch block and something to anchor those big, because they're big trees. When you look at that, those big stumps, leaning up like against that, those aren't just falling from the tree there, like they're strategically placed, you know. And again, like I could have gone over there and looked. Like I was brave enough to do so. I'm like, no, Bigfoot lives out here, I'm not going over there. It was a little scary, but yeah, it does intrigue me now. Like, you know, would I go up there with a group of people? Yeah, I would. If there's a group of us, I'd hike back up that 6K and go up there and check it out and sleep overnight. There's about 4 camp spots, you know, and they clear this trail every year for people. But yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I got to experience all this, because now I'm a believer. You know, now I'm like with the rest of you guys. You know, I was a judger before. I was the same person sitting on the outside looking in the glass going, you guys are all crazy. Even though I did my Bigfoot calls and my Bigfoot wood knocks, you know, because I want to be like the rest of you. I was judging all of you guys on the outside until it happened. And then I'm like, oh my God, they're so right. I was wrong. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm so sorry. You know, but it was surreal. You know, you never ever think that you're ever going to see Bigfoot, because he's such a sneaky bugger. You know, he hides and you don't see him. You can't get a picture except for the Patterson-Gimlin. You know, I'm so proud to say that in my lifetime, I got to see that picture. And I wish that someone would give them credit. I really do. I wish that they would somehow find a Bigfoot, somehow film it, you know, get some evidence, prove these guys right. You know, one guy's already passed away. It would be so great for Bob, you know, to at least say, you know what, I was right. Because nobody, it's like when I tell people my story, they're like, you're crazy, lady, you know, and I don't like that for him. You know, who in their right mind goes out prospecting for gold and says, hey, by the way, bring out your monkey suit and meet me way out there in the woods about, you know, 40 miles, right? Like, who's going to do that? Nobody, right? I just want them to have the actual accreditation for all of the Bigfoot stories. That's where it started.
Yeah. Well, and I don't mean to speak for Bob, but I mean, I think, you know, just from interviews I've watched from him in talking about these videos, I think he's come to a place where he's okay with it, whether people believe him or not. I really think he's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, this is what it is, and if you don't like it, too bad, but if you like it, then okay, we're on the same page.
I guess you're right. I guess you would get to that point. Like, I just stopped, you know, trying to tell my story to people too, right? You know, so that's why when I saw you guys' podcast and you know, the British Columbia Bigfoot, I'm like, yeah, I'm signing on, like, right now. I was so happy to get on there, like, right away, and I just couldn't wait to tell somebody my story, because I, you know, the back of my mind and in my heart, I was like, those people are going to all believe me, every one of them, because they're all on there for the same reason I am, right? So you just feel like you're finally part of a group, an exclusive group, really, because we're the lucky ones, because the non-believers never get to see them, because, again, seeing is believing for a lot of people. And I got to see him. And so now I believe, and I know that there's something else out there that's so way cooler than us in, you know, ways that we'll never understand.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a little more aware, you know, when I'm out, I'm aware of my surroundings. I think I pay more attention to what's out in those cut blocks. You know, is that something peeking behind the tree? You know, like I'm being more aware.
Yeah.
But we haven't gone hunting for the last couple of years either. So, you know, when COVID hit and everything, and we just, we came home in the heart of all the COVID from Mexico, and we just trying to get, you know, I was frontline worker. So I had to just kind of roll with the punches. And so was my husband. And we just kind of just dealt with it. So we're looking forward to getting out this fall. And again, you know, we camp and hunt and everything. So we're going to be out in the area that Bigfoot likes to be. So chances are one of these days, again, I'm hoping we'll get another interaction.
Well, that'd be very cool.
Yes,
we are running out of time here, Terry, but I want to ask you this one last question before I let you go is, you know, what do you think that the Sasquatch will ever be acknowledged as a living, breathing creature, you know, a being? I shouldn't say creature, a being. And do you think that they're, you know, that day will come where, you know, mainstream science kind of finally accepts, you know, the Sasquatch as a part of our ecosystem?
You know, I really hope so. I hope so for the fact is that we advocate for species that are going to go extinct. Okay. And we advocate so hard for them, to preserve the species, to live alongside them. And, you know, I think for us, it would, the more acknowledgement that Bigfoot exists, yes, granted, you know, I think the only evidence or evidentiary specimens that we've been able to get from Bigfoot is that story that was based out of a float pilot plane going up north. And when the group came, they got rocks thrown at them and they left and they were scared. And then they boarded up the cabin. And the next year they had a giant footprint with blood on it. And they did the sample off of that, DNA off of that. And it was part human and part like ape species, you know, monkey. And, you know, they can't confirm 100%, but to know that, you know, we could be preserving a new species. We could advocate for them that much. You know, they're here before we were. They've been here, you know, even in the native histories, in their books and their studies and their paint drawings and, you know, cave drawings and stuff, they've always documented Bigfoot, whether they called him in their native tongue or you know, down south, they call him the skunk monster or the swamp monster, whatever they call him. He deserves the right to be here like everybody else. You know, he was here before we were. So if we could preserve him, and somehow get a DNA sample so that, you know, we know kind of what he is, not that we have to hunt him, because that's not right either. I mean, we hunt other animals, yes, but this species is very smart. And I'd like to live alongside them. I think they deserve the right to be here. So I'm going to do everything in my power not to, you know, deforest our their homes and, you know, not go in looking for trouble when there shouldn't be. I'm going to respect them, right? Maybe I'll leave an apple treat here and there, you know, in hopes that he won't eat me. not that he would, but just, you never know. But yeah, I really believe that. I really believe that we can live alongside them. And if there's some way to preserve their evidence that they are existing here, that would be great. If we don't, then just kind of respect that maybe they do. Right?
Beautifully said. Very beautifully said. Terry, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us this encounter that happened with you and your husband. I sincerely appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me. I'm glad I was able to share with all of you guys. That's a real treat for me. So thank you all of you guys. Thank you.
Okay. And for the listeners, if you guys just want to hang around, we're going to close out the show. Stay there. And we're back, everyone. We are back to pull a pin on this one, but of course we can't do that until we give our guest Terry a huge thank you for taking the time to come on the show today. Terry, thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate you coming on and sharing with us that experience that you and your husband had. And for what it's worth, I hope that your husband can get back into the forest. You know, I hope that phobia kind of leaves him, because I truly believe that the Sasquatch meant no harm to you. But I do understand that the fear that, you know, comes with that. So, you know what? Thank you guys so much, and I hope you guys get back in the woods soon. Let's see. We are going to wrap this one up. I am in a weird place because spring has definitely sprung. If you can't tell, my voice is really scratchy. It's just allergies. You know, there's pollen flying everywhere. There's tree stuff floating around in the air. You know how it goes. Those of you with seasonal allergies know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm a little phlegmy. That might be a little too much information, but hey, you guys, I think you guys are getting to know me pretty well by now. So, but before we wrap up, of course, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. That's NICOLA, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you and get your story on the show. Let's wrap this one up, guys. I'm going to go take a Reactin and hope for the best. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day and an even better week. And until next week, I'll talk to you all later. Bye.